to the doctor. I don't want the doctor to know what I'm doing. I said, fine, I'll speak to your daughter. And she went in, and the mother came out and asked her, ah, you a Sunday school teacher. Why don't we pray for your daughter? I said, look, why don't we pray for your daughter? I mean, I can understand what you're going to do, but let's pray about it. I shared some scripture with her, and I decided, I said, no, I'll pray for you. We can pray together, and I believe God's going to do something for her. So we just left it as the months went by because, you know, then I got a phone call to say, look, I just want to say thank you for praying. My daughter's come out of the asylum. She's gone to church for the first time on her own. Then but also I want to tell you something. The doctor gave the wrong tablets. I said, fine, as long as the prayer works, we don't care about the tablets. But it's true. The doctor gave the wrong medication for depression, but the power of God restored that girl to her right mind. Just think about that. Think about what God has equipped you with. He's equipped you with something that goes beyond medication. And how many times don't we turn to medication to solve our problems? Isn't it so? I was in a meeting like this one day, and I remember the guy, like, what's even like Brother Wilmore, you know, the deacon of the church, and that he's hanging his head there, and he's got a headache, and he's saying, you know what, his head is spinning, he can't take it. So I'm thinking, hey, I got some medication, let me go drive home and fetch it. While I'm preparing to minister, I said, no, man, why do you want to fetch medication? We're in the house of God, let's just leave it. And as I left it, I thought, no, I'm not going to go fetch no tablets, I'm just going to continue as the Lord leads me. At the end of the meeting, the man comes up, he says, thank you, Lord, for healing me. Nothing, no prayer, nothing, just he accepted the word in the right place in the right time. And the man was holding his head, he couldn't do nothing. So can you see what I'm saying? What you need to identify, what defines you, brother? What defines you, sister? Is what your friends at school gonna define you? Look, whatever your mother and your father says about you is good, but you need your own identity. It's going to come a time when you're going to go out into the world. Your mother and your father is not going to be there for you. And then you need to be able to have your own strength and your own identity to say, this is who I stand for. This is what I stand for. This is what I believe. Your parents can do the best they can to raise you, but it's going to come battles you have to fight growing up. They're not going to be there at school when the people's bullying you. They're not going to be there at school when people's calling you names. They're not going to be there when people's going to say, you know, now this world goes, they're going to speak about your nationality, about your color. You get all these things. But there's an identity you got that goes beyond nationality, it goes beyond color, it goes beyond culture. It's an identity that's supernatural. Now, this identity has no flaws. Think about it. God's given you an identity where there is no flaw in you. That's right. You don't want to believe it. But the Bible does say he who is of God, there is no sin imputed unto him. Now, God is in this camp giving you an identity stamp, a new identity. He's defined you no longer as what you were, but as what he wants you to be. You see, God wants you to be a trophy of his grace. God's like any other father. He wants to be proud of you. He wants to present you to a world that cannot find what he's given unto you. He wants to show the world there's still light in the darkness. He's taking you. He's preparing you. He's raising you up. So that he can say, there walks my daughter, there walks my son. You see, with all the pleasure and with everything that's happening, when they look at you, they're going to say, you know what? How do you get by? How do you survive? People's going to ask you questions like that. Man, how do you cope with all this? They don't realize there's a secret power inside of you. There's a secret power that God has put in you. That it doesn't matter how many storms come, you know the master of the wind. It doesn't matter how many bricks they throw at you, whatever they're going to do at you, nothing is able to defeat the purpose that you've been placed here for. Now, the problem is you need to realize it. You see, God has given you a covenant of grace. Now, the covenant of grace accepts the willingness of the Spirit and provides a pardon for the weaknesses of the flesh. Think about what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane. He came to pray with these disciples, and what did they say? The flesh is weak, but the Spirit was willing. That's why God gives you grace. For the willingness of your spirit, he judges you by the intent of your heart. He knows in this life you cannot be perfect, but that's why you receive grace, because grace is what perfects you. Hallelujah. Grace is what God does in grace. It's like the prophet said in this one thing, I think it's called Turn on the Light. He was talking about the story of the Queen of England, right? You know, when you go to a palace, there's portraits in the palace, there's pictures of people. And they were looking at the portrait of the Queen of England, and they were asking, so how do you make this portrait? No, they said, no, look, there's a process to make this portrait. We get a bunch of filthy rags, take them through a process. We clean this thing, we clean it, and then once it's cleaned, we get all the paint and all the stuff, and we put it on that which was filthy rags. Then from that filthy rags, they paint it, they put it in a frame, and it hangs in a palace. Now that is every son and daughter of God that was saved by grace, was once filthy rags, but had to go through a process. That's the same process you're going through now. You were once filthy rags, but what is God doing? He's cleansing you. He said, my word, his word cleanses you. Once he cleanses you, you produce the fruits of holiness. Once you produce the fruits of holiness, he presents you. You see, that's what God is doing you, and he's going to present you in the palace. Look, we believe in, we're living in a church age of Laodicea, which is the last day. And one of the things, if you read in the Revelations, they said, to he who has overcome, he's going to sit where? In the throne. So he's making a portrait that's going to be put there to reflect in the throne. That's what God is doing for his church, you see. If you can realize how much value you have as a Christian, you will not have a complex. You will not have an identity issue. You're going to walk in confidence. Because now you're not walking by what you think of yourself. You're not walking by what others think of you. You're walking about what God said about you. And so, and when God said you, he said you're good. When God made man, he didn't say man is ugly. He didn't say anything like that. He said it is good. God said, I know my thoughts towards you. You see, now you've got to consider the thoughts that God has towards you. God's thoughts are thoughts of an expected end. If you repent, it's an expected end. God's thoughts is for you to prosper spiritually first, then naturally. God's thoughts is for you to be a testimony naturally and spiritually. You will realize as long as you are, you continue serving the Lord, you will be successful at school. You see, wisdom comes from God. The book of James says if you're looking for wisdom to pass your exams, you pray God will give you wisdom liberally. Look, a lot of people that write exams, not they don't fail because of studying. Sometimes your mind just goes blank. You study for the exam, you go there, hey, I forgot everything. Isn't that so? Because intelligence comes from God. It doesn't come from your mind. Yes, but if you pray before you write the exam, God will bring back to remembrance everything you need to know to pass. That's the truth. You're going to write an exam, any of you, any time this year, before you write the exam, read the scripture and pray. And watch. You're going to come back. People's going to look at your report. They're going to say, man, I didn't even know this man is smart. I thought he's dumb. Sorry to say, so you know what I'm trying to say. But I mean, that's what God can do. Look, we're trying to show you something that we have received. You see, we're coming here to give this generation a testimony of what gave us identity. We're coming here to give you a testimony of what defined us. You see, because what defined us before does not define us any longer. You see, when we walk down the road now, the people that know what we used to do, they look and they see a new definition. Isn't that right? They don't see the old George. They don't see the old Cheslin. They don't see old Jesse. They don't see any of that. They see a new definition. They see what Jesus said, you must be the salt of the earth. They see someone they want to be like. You see, there's a song we sing, to be like Jesus. Everybody wants to be like Jesus. But Satan perverts that desire. Satan perverts that desire because we know Jesus is the King of Kings and he receives worship, right? So what do you think every sports star, every music pop idol, they're all trying to be like Jesus is, right? They all want to be up there. They all want worship. But Jesus said, you must humble yourself and you will be exalted. So through your humility, you're going to be exalted. What did he say? Love for others. Put the other person before you. These simple fundamentals of the gospel will raise you up. God will open doors for you that you don't expect to be opened. God will do things for you in a way that you wouldn't be able to give him enough thanks for it. They say God will give you the blessings that's rich and that has no sorrow. A lot of time we as Christians, I like what the prophet says, the sky is full of the Pentecostal blessings. But we're looking for other things. But the sky is full of the Pentecostal blessings. How can a fish that's in the ocean say he's going to run out of water? He can't. It's impossible. One thing I learned by the grace of God, when you love by the Spirit, I thought people still confused when I speak to them. They worry, why I never think about money. I said, why must I think about money when I serve a loving God? That's the truth. A lot of times, how do you survive? I said, I'm not interested in money. God will provide. The money I make, people can't understand how I do what I do. It's not my money, it's God's money. You see, whatever you give to God, whatever God gives to you, give it back to him and ask him to bless it. Amen. What did he do with the fishes and the bread? Amen. That same God still lives today. You say, Lord, this is what I have. I'm giving it back to you. Watch how he multiplies it. Amen. He's going to multiply it. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Amen. go a bit further. You see, it's when I read this, true grace strives against sin and corruption, does not allow them, hates them, and mourns them. You see, sanctification does not attain a sinless perfection in this life. You see, because you're sanctified doesn't mean you're going to be sinless and perfect in this life. Remember what I said about Job? Job was what? Job was a man that was righteous in the sight of God. Job was perfect, but Job wasn't sinless. Yes. There's nowhere in the Bible that says Job was sinless. But why was Job perfect? Because he made a sacrifice every day. Your perfection is in your sacrifices, not in yourself. Your perfection is what God did for you, not what you can do for yourself. So you ought to be thankful this morning that God has granted you grace to give you a defining moment in life. That you can come look back at this camp and you say, look, in 2023, in July, something took place. Because no man can be in the presence of God and come out the same. No man can be under that Shekinah glory, in that anointing of the holiest of holiest, and something don't happen. Something has happened, but what happens, like I said a few days ago, it took place internally. Just give yourself patience. Give yourself time. What people don't understand, salvation is a process that's progressive. Things don't happen overnight. You plant in one season. You water, you grow in the next season. The following season, it produces fruit. So that which was planted in this camp, you will bear the fruits of it in the days and in the years to come. You know, you got to appreciate this that's being done. I know what's going to happen is, we had a very good time last night. You know, you're rejoicing in the Lord. So the devil's going to come. It's going to make you tired. And you know, now the last service, you go from the camp, you're going to be a bit, you know, don't allow the emotions to dictate to you. You know, your emotions is going to dictate you. Ah, I'm tired. Hey, when the service is over, I go back home. Hey, no, take it easy. Take it easy. When you go back home, think about what was said. When you go back home, remember what I told you the first day. Whatever you wrote down, if you wrote down something, think about what you wrote down. And look back and see if God has done it. And if he hasn't done it yet, continue to look at it and continue to believe. Wasn't it so? Think about that man. We always speak about Papa Ryan. Remember, he was blind. Papa Ryan was blind and he came to the prayer line and they said, look, God, and he came to the prayer line and the prophet prayed for him and he said, he came back in the prayer line and he said, no, I still can't see. Still cannot see. He said, well, you say you cannot see, but you told me you believe. So what you wrote down, if you believe it, it's going to come to pass. So what happens is, days go by and days go by and his confession was, praise God, I can see. Praise God, I can see. Praise God, I can see. And then one day his confession became his possession because he could see. Just think about it. What did Jesus say in Mark chapter 11? You must pray and believe and you will have what you say. Now, whatever you wrote down, you've got to believe what you wrote. You've got to pray about it. And he said, you will have what you say because your faith will bring to pass the desire of your heart. You see, a lot of times we... we don't understand in how the simplicity of the gospel, because Jesus didn't say you must say what you have. There's a brother many years ago here in Ireland who preached a sermon, have what you say, don't say what you have. Because we like to say, I got problems. Oh, I got diabetes. I got cholesterol. I got mental problems. Don't say that. Have what you say, don't say what you have. Isn't it so? If you're going to say, I have peace, you're going to have peace. If you're going to say, I have joy, you're going to have joy. Yes, if you're going to say, I have a job, even when you're unemployed, you're going to have a job. If you're going to say, I'm going to have a car, even though you don't have a car, you'll have a car. Yes. It's your words, your confession will bring to pass the desire of your heart. You see, that's why we're here, to raise your faith as a young person. You come here with a desire. You're going to leave here with that desire fulfilled. Why is your God going to fulfill your desire? Because he wants to call you higher. So that is going to give you confidence. The first blessing that God will give you, you're going to say, well, we wrote this down and God did it. So what's it going to make you do? It's going to draw you nearer. So you're going to want to know more about God. You're going to want to draw nearer to God. You know, just a few more things before I close. We had one time, I'll be honest, this happens. This happened, the reason why I say this is supernatural, this happened over the phone. One day, me and Brother George are talking on the phone. I'm in South Africa. He's over here. Amen. There was a sick person in Germany. Yeah. Just think about this. South Africa, Ireland, Germany. So we had what were we doing? We were fellowshipping about the goodness of God. Amen. They say, when you speak about him, he draws nearer. Amen. Remember the road of Emmaus? They were talking about him and he drew nearer. So if you want God to draw nearer, start speaking about him. Amen. We're talking about the goodness of God and he spoke about this brother, Brother Pele. I think he passed away last year. Yeah. He had a niece that was in intensive care in the hospital. And we're speaking about it. And George says, look, while we're in this fellowship, let us just pray for this sister. Well, we prayed for the sister and we left her. The next day, the sister was out of intensive care. They said that person was supposed to die. That was a defining moment for my precious brother that's gone home. His faith. Maybe his faith was so low at that time that God gave him this testimony to remind him, I'm still God. I'm still in control. And I still hear your cries. That's what God is doing here. He's reminding you, he's still in control. He still cares and he hears your cry. I want to say this in closing. You must realize this one thing. Defeat is temporary. Yes. Giving up makes it permanent. You see what I'm saying? You're going to have a lot of defeats. Just don't give up. Because as long as you can stand, something will take place. What the book of Ephesians says, do all that you can to stand. And I told you the other day, it's not about how many times you fall, it's how many times you stand up. So you're going to have defeats when you get out of this camp. Yes, I'm going to speak soberly to you. After all the Pentecostal Jubilee, you're going to have defeats next week, maybe even tomorrow. But I want to remind you, it's not about your defeats. It's about your persistence. You've got to persevere. You've got a goal in mind. You see, faith gives you persistence. Faith gives you perseverance. Faith speaks about things that a normal mind cannot comprehend. You see, when you have faith, you have a long-term vision. You're looking at what you're going to achieve. Yes, you're going to get knocked left. Yes, you're going to get knocked right. But there's something that's holding you. There's something that's inside of you. There's something that's driving you towards that goal. You see what I'm saying? That's what you're here for. So you're going to get knocked this week. You'll get knocked next week. But that doesn't make no difference. You're still going to reach your destination. You're going to get tripped up. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. But you're still going to get there. You see what happens? Whatever's going to take place, it's going to be a stepping stone to your next blessing. Whatever calamity comes to you is a stepping stone to your next blessing. When things are going wrong, prepare yourself for a blessing from God. When everything is thinking, this is going wrong in the house, that's going wrong in the house, God's preparing a blessing. Why do you think in the book of Numbers, while God is busy killing the enemy, don't complain. He's busy doing the work for you, so prepare yourself for a blessing. Isn't it so? It's like one day somebody, they said they were praying for water because there was a drought. But they said, okay, there come a point where you got to stop praying and take the bucket and put the bucket out there. Isn't that so? You got to come a point where your faith got to go into action. You've prayed and you've prayed. Now have expectation to receive what you prayed for. Isn't that so? Walk out of this camp with the expectation, I'm going to put that bucket outside. The rain is coming. Isn't that so? You see, can't you see like the boss says, can't you sense an abundance of rain? Can't you see the Pentecostal blessing that God once again gave to prove he's the same yesterday, today, and forever? Now, if he gave that yesterday, can you see how much more is in store for you? We always expect God to run out. God cannot run out of blessings. God cannot run out of goodness. God cannot run out of love. It's your attitude towards his promises. This morning, all I desire is change your attitude towards the promise of God so that it can define you who you are. So that it can define your character. Don't be a person that just, okay, you know, I go to church. No, you're more than somebody that goes to church. You are born again Christian, born from the blood of Jesus Christ. There's royal blood in your veins. Remember what we see, the blood that came from Emmanuel's veins. That blood has been given to you. Because that blood has been given to you, you have that life in you. Therefore, like a seed of Abraham, you can say, I got royal blood in my veins. That royal blood testifies of a life that cannot end. It testifies of a life that will raise up from the grave. It testifies of you being able to say something regardless of what's happening around you. Isn't that so? We thank God for the blessing he's given us this week. You know, we thank God for everything that's taken place. And I would like just to encourage you to think about what I said. What defines you? What defines you? Am I just a churchgoer? Am I a Christian? Am I a born again Christian? Am I a son of God? What defines you? The book of Acts chapter 12, right? In Antioch. They called the people Christians for one reason and one reason only. They saw them doing what Jesus did. Amen. Wherever they went, they realized, hey, but these people are doing the exact same thing that Jesus did. Amen. And that's what defined Christianity. Amen. See what I'm saying? Amen. What defines Christianity? Hallelujah. Doing what Jesus did. Amen. May that be your testimony from today going forward. Amen. That you're not defined by what people think about you. You're not defined by what the political world says, what the school says, but you're defined by what Jesus has done for you. And this in closing, there was an interesting thing in the Bible where Peter forgot who he was. Remember Peter cut off the ear?
Yeah. Amen.
And he said he's gonna, Jesus told him, you're gonna deny me three times. After he cut off the ear, he remembered what Jesus said and he started to weep.
Yeah.
You see, now what made him weep? Because he remembered the words of Jesus.
Yes.
Is anything you want to do with this camp? Remember the words of Jesus.
Amen.
Because those words are the words of life. They are words of hope. They are words of restoration. Those are the words that will carry you from this day till the day he comes to receive you. All you have to do, whatever you go through from this day forward, remember the words of Jesus. Because his word will not come back void. His word will not be defeated, but his word will accomplish the purpose that's set out to in your life. So that's what I believe we have come here to do, to remind you of who you are. And to remind you of the one that brought you here. And to remind you of the one who's taking you further. And the band come forward. I'd like to, if we can sing that song of the church. It's an anthem of the church. I say, glory to his name. Down at the cross, where my Savior died.
Amen.
Because our identity is directly linked to the cross.
Yeah.
You identify with the cross. The cross identifies with you.
Amen.
When you identify with the cross, you identify with eternity. When you identify with the cross, you identify with sin in your life being judged. When you identify with the cross, you identify with the decision not to go one way, to go the other way. When you identify with the cross, what's happening to you? You identify yourself as a son and a daughter of God.
Hallelujah.
You sing the song, down at the cross where my Savior died.
Amen.
You know something? George, you can get the tune? Yes. At the cross where my Savior died, down where from cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied.
We're singing
glory to his name.
I am wondrously saved.
I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus, so sweet. Abides within, there at the cross where he took me.
We're singing
glory to his name.
We'll give you glory,
glory to his name.
That precious name,
glory to his name. Precious fountain that saves from
sin.
I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saved me and keeps me clean.
Singing
glory to fountain so rich and sweet.
Let us
cross thy poor soul at the Savior's feet.
Let us
plunge into day and be made complete.
We're singing
glory to his name.
Singing glory. That precious name, oh, of Jesus, glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name.
Would you like to offer a word of prayer? You can just bow it. Gracious God and eternal Heavenly Father, as we've come to the end of a time which you have predestinated for us, Lord, a time in which you have blessed us, Lord, may we look at the bigger picture and the bigger purpose of this time spent here, Lord. Yes, Lord, it was a good time, Lord. We had the joy of the Lord. We had a lot to, Lord, be thankful for. But, Lord, you are God who works in preparation, Lord. Whenever you do something like this, it's preparation for what lays ahead, Lord. My prayer is, Lord, that we, Lord, as much as we appreciate everything, Lord, let us prepare our hearts, Lord, for the time that we are living in, Lord. Amen. Lord, we realize these are the last days, Lord. And yes, Lord, you said you, Peter, Satan desired to sift him, but you prayed for him. Just like our pastor mentioned it the other day, Lord. And I believe that's what, Lord, we've come here for, Lord. So Amen. That, Lord, we can be reminded of our calling, that we can be reminded of our purpose, Lord. Especially our young people, Lord. We do not know the challenges they face, Lord. Amen. But we know one thing, the same God that carried us through will carry them through, Lord. Pray, Heavenly Father, for your richest blessing upon each and every one of them, Lord. Those who are going to be baptized, Lord, that you would give them the revelation of why they are being baptized, Lord. May they just not do it because, Lord, it was something that happened at the camp. But may it be something, Lord, that happened from the regions of eternity, Lord. Yes. May it be like the song we sing. May it be a cry from the soul to God, like they say in the song, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. May that be the experience that brings him to the water, Lord. Pray also, Lord, now for, Lord, traveling grace and mercy as each and every one has to go in different ways, Lord. Amen. Thankful for every individual that attended, everybody that listened, the audience, Lord, that were so gracious, Lord, to give an ear to what we had to say, Lord, for we just mere mortal beings, Lord. Pray, Lord, Amen. That you would give your blessing to them now, and Lord, that you would restore each and everyone's virtue, Lord. Amen. Give them good rest, Lord, and prepare us for the Sunday morning where we, Lord, are not coming for any other purpose, Lord, but to receive from your hand, Lord. Amen. Ask now, Lord, that you bless us further in Jesus' name with much thanksgiving. Amen.
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 Thank you. Wonderful. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just be seated for a moment, saints. You know, when you're listening to Brother Chester, like I said, it's good to take notes. Because he hits bullet points all the time. And you can go from this camp and take those bullet points and you can expand them out into very, very powerful things. Ah, Brother Mike, God bless you, bro. Good to see you. I just wrote this one down. It takes a defining moment to break a cycle. Now, if you think inside your life, you've had a defining moment, many of you at the camp, but if I look in my life, it's taken many defining moments to bring me to where I am. And I believe in the Lord still has further defining moments to take me on. That's how the Lord works. If you look at Jacob, there was a defining moment when he was running away from his brother, heading out of the promised land, and then he put a stone as a pillow, and during the night there was a defining moment. The brother spoke of it the other day, and he saw a ladder between heaven and earth, and the Lord looking down, and he woke up in the morning, and he said, this is the house of God. I didn't know that God was in this place. That defined him. But that wasn't enough to fully define him. Then he went now and had an experience at Peniel when he wrestled with the Lord and the Lord changed his name. And now he became Israel, a prince who has power. So that's really what we need to define us. You know, we need the Lord to keep bringing us to these defining moments because, friends, let me say one thing. Satan wants to define you. Satan wants to define you according to the way that he wants you to be defined. And that's the worst thing we can do is allow the devil to define us. And I'm so glad that through the preaching of the word, through the revelation of the word, you're allowing now the Lord to define who you are. You're not allowing the devil to define you anymore. Oh, friends, you know, just before service, I was speaking with one of the young ones, and it was really amazing because we could have taken the bullet points what we were speaking about, and Brother Chesson just came and expanded them all out. Is this one of being defined by the Lord? Allowing the word to define you. What does the Lord say about me? Because the devil says a lot of things to us, friends. But everything he says to us is a lie. Because the Bible says he was a liar from the beginning. The only thing that's truth is the word, what God says about you. And as you allow His word to bathe down and you allow yourself to come into that atmosphere, that God starts to define you. You'll start seeing yourself very different than you did before. And I'm sure almost all of us see ourselves different now than we did at the beginning of the camp. Because the Lord has been defining us. The Lord has been giving us defining moments as we've gone through these services. Now on Tuesday, I wrote it down in my notes here. On Tuesday, Brother Chesson was preaching on God's power to transform. And he said that. He said, write down what is your desire for the camp. Who did that? Have you gone back and seen what you wrote down? Can I tell you what I wrote down on that page? My desire at this camp is for a divine visitation. And can you see today I put a very big tick next to that. Because God was faithful, friends. You know, when you really put your desire before the Lord and you have a sincere desire before the Lord. I know Brother George used to always speak about that, about, you know, keep your prayer list. You know, write down the requests you're putting before the Lord. Then go and look a few months later at all the things you've been praying for and you will see how faithful God is in prayer. When you don't just look at your prayer short term, that I prayed for this yesterday, but when you look at prayer, like the prophet says, put it into the hands of the Lord, then leave it there and allow Him to answer it in His way, in His time. Because God always answers prayer. You're going to find after a few months, go back down, tick off all of those requests you put before the Lord that have been answered. Friends, God is very, very faithful, friends. And this has been a really, really wonderful time. And I really do appreciate it. And thank you, Brother Chesson. He said, defeat is temporary. Giving up makes it permanent. That's a powerful thing. Ah, friends, that's a very, very, that's something to stick on your fridge. Now, that's something to print out and stick on your mirror. That every time you look in the mirror and the devil says, who are you? You look on the side there, or the devil, you get up in the morning and the devil says, you didn't have a very good day yesterday, did you? You look on the, yeah, defeat is temporary. And I'm not going to make it permanent. And friends, remember one thing. Satan is not eternal, but you are. Think of that. Tell the devil that once in a while. Say, Satan, when you don't exist anymore, I'm still going to be existing. Amen. And it's true. When God destroys him in the end, you're going to be shining forth in the glory of God through all eternity. Yeah, and that's the wonderful thing that Brother Chesson was saying. And it's what he was saying there. Allow yourself to be defined by revelation. Not by emotion or situation or opinion and those kind of things. But allow how you define yourself to be defined by revelation. When the prophet says that you are the sinless, spotless church of the living God, you know, that you are justified. God sees no sin inside of his people. When he said the scripture there that God imputes no sin to his people. You know, those are the things that should define us, friends. You know, this world is very negative. Social media can be very cruel. No, there can be the cyber bullying and all of that. And people are saying the meanest things about somebody. Because somebody's thin, because somebody's fat, because somebody has a big nose, because somebody's from another, you know, ethnicity, because someone speaks with another accent. Friends, we should never allow those things to define us. Because those things are temporary. Those things will pass away. But what God thinks about you is permanent. God will never have a new thought about you. God can never change his mind. God can't look at William and say, William, I love you with an everlasting love. And tomorrow he doesn't love you. Because God says, I am the Lord and I change not. But we're so used to having friendships that change. And people last year at school, they were friends with us. Now they sing, you know, bad things about us. That's the wonderful thing about the Lord is that every single time you come from this world and it's hostility and it's, you know, it's negativity. And you come back into the presence of the Lord, he's exactly the same as he's always been. No, sometimes you might be like the prodigal son and you'll even think with the Lord that, I don't think the Lord, he's going to accept me again this time. And you just come humbly before the Lord and he's exactly the same as he was the last time you were here. This is a refuge that never changes. This is an oasis that never changes. And this is the source of the believer's strength. Now that you can just keep coming back to an unchanging one who loves you and accepts you. He deals with you by grace, like Brother Chesson was saying. It's grace. That God looks down at you. What does the song say? He looks beyond my faults and he saw my needs. That's what he does. Even with them in the garden, like you said, the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus came and he saw his disciples sleeping, he didn't condemn them. He said, your spirit is willing. That's good, but your flesh is weak. You know, so he saw the desire they had. He didn't look at the mistake that they were making. And friends, when you start getting closer to the Lord and you start reading his word and you start allowing him to speak to you, you don't give very much room for the devil to come and poke in his negativity. No, I don't like that. I don't like getting up in the morning feeling negative. And yeah, the first thing I do, I start getting in the word. And like we said yesterday, at first there'll be resistance. Now at first there'll be some spiritual warfare. You start getting in prayer. Then there comes a breaking point. And now you start getting your liberty again. You start feeling yourself again. You start looking at the day with positivity once again. Because the Holy Ghost is always positive. Friends, God has never had a negative thought. God has never had a single second, although God is eternal. God has never had a moment of depression ever since eternity. God has never been depressed. God cannot be depressed. It's impossible to come in the presence of God and be depressed. You can't. Like the brother was saying, Jesus never preached a funeral. No, when he came into Nain that day, he came to the city gates. Here was the funeral coming out of the city gates. Here was Jesus coming with the disciples. Something's going to happen. The moment Jesus came, there was no more funeral anymore. All the people were weeping. And imagine that widow. She's looking. This is her only son. Her husband's died. Who's going to look after her in her old age? It was a disaster in those days. And here's the young man laying on the bier. And Jesus just comes and touches him and says, arise. My, there was all the sackcloth and the ashes and the weeping and the mourning until Jesus came in court. And that's exactly the same as it is with us every single time. Just let him come into your circumstances. Just let him speak his word into your situation. Let him define how you look at things. And friends, what a difference it makes in life. So I really enjoyed that. Thank you so much. I know everyone's a bit tired because everyone blew off the last steam last night. You know? When we were saying, you know, that I command DCF to praise the Lord, and we're commanding McDonald's to praise the Lord. We are commanding Brother Greg to praise the Lord and commanding our parents to, I don't know, I think we ran out of things to command to praise the Lord. Until we came to about 7 minutes to 11, we said, guys, we better command 11 o'clock to praise the Lord. Otherwise, we're going to be here all night. But it's been a blessed time, friends. I'm sure you've been blessed the same as me. It's a sweet fatigue. That's what it is. It's a sacred tiredness. That's what I like. Like last night, I was so tired and you lie in your bed, but you're just so full of joy. And you wake up in the morning, you determine, tomorrow I'm sleeping at 8 o'clock. You wake up normal time, 6 o'clock, you're wide awake, but you've got a sacred joy in your tiredness. Friends, we didn't come here to rest. We came here for the Lord to define us. And the Lord has defined us while we've been here. You know, and that's the real blessed thing. So we just want to thank everybody. It's hard to thank everybody, but you really do appreciate. And there's been so much hard work going into these meetings. We really appreciate the parents that really cooperated in these meetings so very, very well. Yes. You know, the parents that have been praying for us while we're here, friends, that's the secret of the success of all things, is the people that have been praying. We really thank Brother Wilmore for all of his hard work in the midst of his adversity as well. Amen. And so well helped by our good sisters there, the technician's booth, which is also the Amen Corner. We really do appreciate it. And like Brother Cheslin was saying, you know, we so much appreciate it. We thought we were just going to be coming here with the over 13s. Then we saw a lot of people who couldn't come. So we invited now some of our more senior youth to come and some of our mothers to come. And what a blessing they've been to us as well. We do so appreciate all the work that they've done, all the ones that came along. Because by them doing what they did, it allowed you to focus on the things that you needed to focus on. You didn't have to focus on cleaning and plates and all those things of organization. So it set everybody free to have fellowship with one another, to have a wonderful time. So when you came into the house of the Lord, every single time there was a blessing. We really do appreciate Brother George for his song leading. Brother JP. Brother Faithful, God bless you, brother. Appreciate it. And for Brother Cardell to get into the saddle. Amen. One thing Brother Cardell doesn't understand about ministry is once you enter, there's no leaving. It's a door that once it opens, you can never go back again. Brother Cheslin knows that as well, brother. It's true. You know, you might be young and say, well, they've given me a chance to preach. You don't know what you're being asked to do. Because once you step in the pulpit, it's a point of no return. Things will never be the same. It's a defining moment, but it's a blessing. Like Brother Cheslin said, live your life through your gift. You know, you just really pour your energy, pour the inspiration into a gift that will be ministering to other people, blessing other people. And it's the sweetest life that you can live. So we really do appreciate even Brother David and the deacons. They've been had a tremendous job. Brother Clayton, he took Brother Daniel to the airport, so he's not here, but he did a tremendous job. We really do appreciate. And the technical staff, Brother Tendai, Brother Daniel. They've all done such a good job. It's been a real, real, even Brother Vogus, when he was here, and his family, we appreciated them. Sister Greta for helping when she was here for those few days. Amen. And not forgetting our good bus driver. You know, what would you do without the bus drivers? Amen. Is Brother Vlad here now? He hasn't got here yet. No. Are you going to drive the bus, Brother Dave? Was he going to drive the bus? One way or the other, people will get back home. That's the way that it is. But friends, I really want to say, I've been so proud of our young people. My, it's been tremendous. Has it not? Could we have asked for our young people to have behaved any better? I don't think so. Guys, you've been tremendous. I've got to say that. We are so proud of the way that you've been. And when you look at this age, what is the word define this age as? Children will be disobedient to parents. Yeah, ungodly, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, unholy, profane, all the words the Bible uses of the end time. But look at the young people we have, friends. This is the grace of God. Our young people are defined by another dimension. They're not defined by the dimension of Laodicea, and we really do appreciate it. So God bless each and every one, and may the blessing of the Lord rest on each and every one as you go from this place. And we appreciate Gareth and the people in this place. We're ready to appreciate them. We've never come to Avoca up to now and ever been disappointed. Every time we've come, it's been a blessing. We do so appreciate this place. And may the Lord grant us grace to find a good slot for next year for a family camp in summer, so we can invite Brother Paul LaFontaine to come and bless the saints. You know, so we just pray that they'll give us favor in that. And who is there anybody who's not from our church who accepted the Lord, who wants to be baptized? Any of the visitors who came, or were you already baptized? Was anybody? No, well. But we really do appreciate the saints who came from England, from Leeds, from Nottingham, from different places. And our brother who played the keyboard, thank you so much. We do appreciate it, Brother Hami. Sister Grace's testimony was a blessing. Sister Grace asked me yesterday, I said, can I ask some Bible questions? Me and Brother Daniel Mazur sat there. The sister's question, we couldn't answer any of them. Aye. The sister studies her Bible series. We sat there, sister, you'll have to give us some time on these things. It's interesting. Not too many times in my life someone's asked me questions about things about the cherubim that I couldn't explain. I said, okay, no, we need to look into these things ourselves. So God bless you, saints. Let's stand. There's a bit of lost property. I don't know whose ribbon this one is. It was left in somebody's room. I don't know whose it is. And there was a permanent marker. I think it was in the sister's room as well. And somebody left their McDonald's double as well. And somebody's watch. Is it a watch? Yeah, somebody's watch on a chain. I don't know whose that is. What do you want to sing before we dismiss saints? And then Brother Wilmer will come in. I'll just sing one song and Brother Will will come and announce. He can close for us in prayer. Yeah. Yes, it's good. To praise the Lord, I command my hand to praise the Lord. I come on my feet and it's to praise the Lord. Hands, you've got 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 to praise. I don't think it's possible to sing this song stationary. Saints, it's not the same song if you just stand where you are. Last night we saw how this song has got to be sung. Friends, that's how you sing this song. Ah, saints, please. Ah, I know you're tired. Just once more, Lord. Remember Samson said, once more, Lord, and the Lord gave him great energy. Come, saints, let's sing the song the way we did last night. And let the young sisters lead us. I know they're tired, but push on. Let's sing this song. Come.
I command my hands
to praise the Lord. I command my hands to praise the Lord. I command my hands to praise the Lord. I command my hands to praise the Lord. Hands, you've got 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 to praise the Lord.
I command my
feet to praise the Lord.
Whoa.
I command my feet to praise the Lord.
Whoa.
I command my God to praise the Lord.
Whoa.
Feet, you've got to praise the Lord.
Feet,
you've got to praise the Lord.
Whoa.
Feet, you've got to praise the Lord.
Whoa.
I command my tongue to praise the Lord. I command my tongue to praise the Lord.
Tongue,
I command, you've got to praise the Lord.
Tongue, you've got to praise the Lord.
Tongue, you've got to praise the Lord. Tongue, you've got to praise the Lord.
I command my feet, I command
my feet to praise the Lord. I command my feet to praise the Lord.
Oh,
feet, you've got to praise the Lord. Feet, you've got to praise the Lord.
Rajo,
sing it the way that it is there. We've got to sing the first line four times, not just twice, bro. It's like, command my hands four times, and then we're going to get the chorus. What are we going to sing on the last time when you go around, saints? You.
The young
sisters should take over from Brother George. Hey, they were the ones.
No one's going home if you don't sing it the right way. Yeah?
What are we doing now?
I command my hands.
My phone, yes. Our phone and our games and our neighbors.
My phone,
we want them to praise the Lord.
I command my phone
to praise the Lord.
Phone,
you've got to praise the Lord.
Phone.
Praise the Lord.
Whoa.
Phone, you've got to praise the Lord. Phone, you've got to praise the Lord.
Next one.
I command my to praise the my games since I command my games to praise the Lord.
Yeah,
I command my games to praise the Lord.
Games,
you've got to praise the Lord. To praise the Lord.
Yeah,
games,
you've got to praise the Lord.
What about your school? I command my school to praise the Lord.
School.
I command my school to praise the Lord.
School.
You've got to praise the Lord.
School.
You've got to praise the Lord. School, you've got to praise the Lord.
Next one.
My neighbor. I command my neighbor.
I command my
neighbor to praise the Lord. I command my neighbors to praise the Lord.
I command
my neighbors to praise the Lord.
My neighbors.
I command my neighbors to praise the Lord.
Neighbors,
you've got to praise. What about a vocal?
Neighbors,
you've got to praise the Lord.
Neighbors,
you've got to praise the Lord. What about a vocal?
A vocal
to praise the Lord.
Oh,
I command a vocal to praise the Lord. I command a vocal to praise the Lord.
You've got to praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. God bless, saints. Amen. Amen. Yes, I ask Father Wilmore to come for the announcements and to close for us in the word of prayer. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, saints. I almost feel like singing again. You know, I command this body to get healed now. You know, the pastor forgot to thank a couple of people, and would like to thank them as well. Brother Joel and your brother for the work you did with the registration thing. It wasn't. May God bless you. Amen. Amen. And picking some of the people from the airport, and we appreciate that. May God bless. And the second person the pastor forgot for us to thank is the pastor. You don't know, some of you might have experience, but you don't know what it's like to be led by somebody who wants to do everything himself, you know, but we have been privileged. We've got a good pastor, and he creates a space for every single person to express what God has put in them. That's a very good thing, because everybody's got something to do. So. Amen. May God bless you, Brother Andrew. And I'll make a couple of announcements. Just as we are going to depart here, we have been asked not to go upstairs anymore. We've gone through the rooms. There's nothing left there. So please try to stay on this floor. And as we depart from here, the bus is ready now. Please take your stuff, bring it to the bus. And I know there will be brothers in here that need help with packing the equipment. And also, I would like to ask the brothers then to help us to put the chairs back. I think we have to put them back a certain way. And the last thing then is that the place where we were having our meals, it's already been cleaned, it's ready, and I think that it would be a hard job to ask the sisters to do that again. So our lunch is a carry-away lunch. So you get your lunch and you go outside with it. You can bring it on the bus, but don't make the bus too dirty. If you are not going to eat it, please don't take it, and then just leave it lying down there somewhere, okay? But it's a carry-away lunch. Get the lunch and then go out, because there's another group that's going to come here this afternoon. So I already spoke with the people, and I said, I hope we haven't ruined our reputation. They said, no, we love you to come back, you know. So they will give us some opportunity to come back again next year. So thank you. May God bless each and every one of you. Amen. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we are thankful, Lord. Father, when we were coming to this camp and making preparation, we knew, Lord Father, that there was going to be something happen that is good. But Lord, it has gone way beyond our expectation. Father, you never disappointed us, Lord. You came, you were here, Lord, with us. And Lord, you blessed us so much, Lord. We are thankful, Father, for your presence in our midst. How you have touched the lives of these young people and transformed them, Lord, into something else. Father, we thank you. Bless, Lord, now, Father, thy servants that have ministered so faithfully. Lord, we want to commit them into your hands. Our brother Daniel Mazo, on the way home, we pray for him that you renew his strength, Lord. What a blessing his ministry has been, Lord, unto us. And we ask, Father, that you give him more and more, Lord, territory where he could go and be used to minister to your needy people. Father, how thankful we are to have our brother Cheslin in our midst, Lord, to see what you have been doing with him over there in South Africa, and to allow, Lord Father, part of that ministry to come and express itself here. Lord, we are more than thankful, Lord, to this afternoon for our brother. We pray you strengthen him, Lord, that you continue to use him, Lord, to change lives, Lord, to transform them. Father, we commit him into your hands, Lord. Bless us now as we would depart from this place. Lord, we thank you, Father. Please bring every brother, every sister, every child home safely, Lord. Bless, Lord, Father, our bus driver as he drives the bus. We commit them into your hands. And every car that will be driven, we commit into your hands, Lord. May you bring your people home safely, Lord. Father, until we would meet on Sunday, Lord, let it not go away from us, Lord, but that we may continue, Lord, and not stop, but that, Father, to nurture, Lord, and to drink more and more, to push in more of your word, Lord, that when we meet on Sunday, we'll just take off from where we are living today and bring, Lord, Father, this revival to the saints, Lord, that we shall meet with on Sunday, that they can just leak on us, Lord, and enjoy some of this, Father, and that the whole place, Lord, Father, will just repeat over and over again what you have given us today. Bless us now. Bless the food that will be partaken. Father, we pray, Lord, until we meet again in this place or some other place that you would allow, may you keep each and every one of us safe, Lord. We ask all these things in Jesus' name, our Savior. Amen.
Sing, "Thy will be done." Oh, Pastor? Okay.
Some folks are building homes on the land. So busy with their fortunes, they forget what Jesus said about the fig trees, budding leaves.
This old world can never hold me any moment. I'll be gone, for I have made my consecration, and I have my wedding garment. Never hold me any moment. I'll be gone. For I am made my consecration, and I have my wedding garment on.
Sing.
I put those words in there. I forgot.
I am redeemed, bought with a price. My Jesus has changed my whole life. Should anybody ask you just who I am, you tell them that I am redeemed. I'm redeemed, I'm bought with a price. Our Jesus has changed my whole life. Should anybody ask you just who you are, you tell them that I am.